Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Teenagers in South Central Los Angeles face school and life in On My Block, the acclaimed new drama on Netflix's Block. Co-creator and writer Jeremy Haft joins me next from Los Angeles. Also on our Block, Roseanne Reboot moves ahead, Beyond Does Not, and our classic trivia question this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in on this Good Friday 2018. Tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the New York Television Festival and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Delighted to be with us on this Friday afternoon, whatever holiday you are celebrating this weekend, Easter, Passover, whatever. We thank you for tuning us in on the program All About Television. 57 degrees at the top of the hour. Great guests coming your way in the half hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, pick up the phone, raise your voice, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. We got chat rooms filling up at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Simon Apple 04 by name. And already guests 485 and 491 are already in the room. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we'll get you involved. And while the program's on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Jeremy Haft from On My Block joins us live from L.A. after these news notes. ABC is expected at any moment to award the reboot of Roseanne with a second season. Roseanne Barr's return to sitcom television Tuesday night attracted some 18.5 million viewers, the most audience for that time period on ABC in a very long while. It's not clear yet if season 2 will debut this fall or be held until 2019. Life Sentence, struggling Wednesday nights on the CW since its premiere earlier this month, will drop off for 2 weeks after its next episode. The CW will relocate Life to Fridays at 9 p.m. starting April 27th. And the story launched on Freeform last night. The network delivered the axe to another one of its original series, Beyond. That series came on Freeform last winter to solid viewership and social media attention, but plunged in both categories for its just concluded second season. And that is news notes for today. In recent years, Netflix has gotten a reputation for bringing on shows that they don't publicize or promote in a big way, and they end up being hits. Think 2016 with Stranger Things and The OA, and last year there was Dear White People and 13 Reasons Why, to name just a few. Well, the latest in that category, which premiered earlier this month, is On My Block, and it's getting rave reviews for being one of the most unique dramedies and dramas dealing with its audience, teenagers, in South Central Los Angeles, dealing with class and life. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an interview exclusive, the co-creator and head writer of the program, Jeremy Haft. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Just a quick one. Yeah, I'm the co-creator and EP, but one of a couple, there's a bunch of writers. So Lauren, Eddie, and I guess would be the head writers, but Lauren's our showrunner, but Lauren, Eddie, and I were the creators and EPs, and we super proud of the show, and as a fan of your show, I'm super ecstatic to be here with you, Simon, so thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. We will get to Lauren and Eddie and what all you have created as we go along in the interview. First of all, what's been the reaction from people, not just reviewers, but the folks out there to what you're doing?
Well, the reviewers have been great. We're 100% on Rotten Tomatoes last time I checked, which is very exciting. The reviews have been great. More importantly, though, Twitter, Instagram has been a love fest. I would say 99%, even more, of the tweets that I get, the tweets that I read, the Instagram messages have been pure love. It really makes this a dream project. Listen, we love making it, but seeing how everyone feels, you know, we are getting, like I said, emails and tweets and Instagram about people feeling like they're finally represented, that they're seeing themselves on TV for the first time. And, you know, that means a lot. You know, the fans have been rabid and wonderful and excited and screaming for a season two. It's been beyond gratifying.
And it seems, Jeremy, that you and Lauren, who came to fame initially in television with an MTV series called Awkward, and Eddie Gonzalez, who is the other key co-creator and writer, etc., that you have really hit a nerve with this audience, teenagers who live this day-to-day life in South Central Los Angeles or other cities like that part of L.A., who face the same circumstances, the same environment, the same consequences in their life. And the social media reaction and the reviewer reaction really points to that, that you have hit a dynamic nerve where people are coming back at you and saying, that's my life. That's what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, I think, you know, Eddie Gonzalez and I, have been writing partners for a long time. Been friends with Lauren. This is the first time we teamed up, but it's a perfect, you know, it was a match made in heaven. And what's interesting is, you know, Eddie and I have been partners for so long. So we would go in the meetings, and everyone here, Eddie grew up in Compton and Linwood. And right away, the first questions are, oh, were you in a gang? Were your brothers in a gang? You know, what was about the drug dealers and this? It's all the dark stuff that you always see on these bad TV shows and bad movies, the stereotypes. And Eddie would tell stories, and he would say, dude, I loved growing up in Compton. I loved growing up in Linwood. You know, I was just like everyone else. I wanted to make the baseball team. I wanted to kiss the girl. I wanted to go to the prom. I was worried about this or that. But every once in a while, there would be a drive-by. There would be a drug dealer. But our life was just like everyone else's in high school. And he would talk about his dreams and aspirations, which were no different than Lauren's in Palos Verdes. They were no different than mine in Chicago and New Jersey. Every teenager has the same, we used to say it was like, you know, they have the same dreams and aspirations, but in some areas, like where Eddie grew up, the stakes to your mistakes are much higher, but they still want to kiss the girl. They still want to make the baseball team. So we wanted to show these kids, much how Eddie grew up, they're just like everybody else. It's, you know, it can be scarier. It can be more intimidating. The stakes of their mistakes are bigger. But these kids are totally normal kids like everyone else, just going up in a tougher environment. Not everyone there is a drug dealer or in a gang. I mean, Eddie's brothers are engineers, judges. One of them works at NASA, I mean, when NASA was still around. I mean, his family's an American success story, not the crap that you often see on TV. And I think a lot of the kids out there see themselves reflected in our kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome guest 492 into our chat room. Simon Apple, 04 my name. And guess what, Jeremy? We're going to take a call right off the bat. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hang on for 1 second. Oh, wait, hang on. I think we just got that person. Hello, you're on the air. It's Simon Applebaum from Tomorrow Be Televised. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
My name's Caden, and I'm from Las Vegas.
Caden,
thanks for calling in.
You're on the air with Jeremy Half.
Oh, hey. So I have a question for you. I was listening for a little bit, and I just wanted to ask, like, the characters in the show, are they a reflection of any people that you know of or yourself from your past?
Well, you know, I would say that I think we would all say that Ruby is based on Eddie quite a bit. And then the rest of the characters are really just compilations of different people that Lauren, Eddie, and I all have met, grown up with, been friends with throughout our lives. So the Ruby character is probably the most – the Ruby one is really based on Eddie, and the rest of the characters are different compilations of people we met throughout our lives.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, man.
I
appreciate it. And please spread the word, Caden. We need season two, brother.
Okay. I have a hunch that he will, Jeremy. How did all three of you, Lauren, and Eddie, come together, and how long did it take to get this show on Netflix?
You know, that's actually a great story. So we met. Lauren, Eddie, and I all met in a bad situation, so to speak, at the Writers Guild strike, the last strike, which was about 8 or 9 years ago, I think. So we all were picketing at Fox. You had to picket somewhere where you had a project. I think Eddie and I had a movie or two at Fox. So we were picketing at Fox. Lauren and I became really good buddies. We saw, you know, you'd see each other every day marching, so we became really good friends. And then we hung out all the time, and then we lost touch for a couple of years. You know, we all got married, have kids, you sort of do your own thing. And then Lauren and I were having lunch one day, and she said to me, you know, she had done Awkward, which was a great show and very successful. And she said, you know, a lot of the fans of Awkward were kids of color, and I'd love to do a show, you know, for them, with them. And but she's like, you know, that's just not my thing. I would need to collaborate. Do you know anyone? I said, Lauren, Eddie and I are writing the Tupac biopic, All Eyes on Me. We wrote on Empire. Eddie grew up in Compton and Linwood. We know this world. This is what you're saying are all the stories that Eddie and I have been talking about for years. Literally, that we had lunch that day, Lauren and I. The next day, the three of us got together, and within 20 minutes, we were off and running. And I think we pitched the show like 6 or 7 weeks later and sold it to Netflix right then. So it was super, super fast. I mean, the three of us just, you know, clicked immediately. And, yeah, it's been a great process.
On My Block is the new acclaimed series on Netflix. It's been on the air since the last 2 weeks, since 2 weeks ago. And we've got one of the co-creators, executive producers, and one of the key writers of the program with us now live from L.A., Jeremy Hap. And he's willing to take your chat room reaction and your phone calls. So make it happen. 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04. My name is welcome guest 501 into the room. Monday on Smart Become Live, we're going to focus on two scripted shows. One is Good Girls, the new NBC sensation. And we've got Jenna Banz, who is the creator and showrunner of that series. And then for the brand new ABC series, The Crossing, which debuts next Monday night, we'll have creative executive producers Dan Dworkin and J.B. Addy. That's Good Girls and The Crossing, both on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, live and exclusive right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Something else, Jeremy, that makes this show remarkable is the cast. These are all people who have never done television, as far as I know. They're all new to the medium. And it comes across sometimes when you watch the show that they're not acting. It's like that's a real person out there who's attending school.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the most interesting things about our show is almost all of these kids are pretty new to TV. Jessica, who plays Jasmine, had been on a Disney show, and Ronnie Hawk, who plays Olivia, had been on a Disney show. But really the core four, Ruby, Monse, Caesar, and Jamal, the four of them really had done very little, and our casting directors were amazing finding them. And one of the cool things about the show is that their lives, their growing up, is reflected in the show. They felt it was very authentic to their life, to their world, to their, you know, to how they grew up. So when they read the scripts, it wasn't like they were acting, you know, playing an astronaut on Mars or a, you know, a firefighter in Chicago. These are young kids who could really, really, you know, feel the material and have empathy for the characters, and that's made it, I think, great. And they're all wonderful kids.
Yeah, one of them I think is marvelous is the one that plays the tomboy. I have a hunch that she is on her way to becoming a very, very special actress.
Yeah, Sierra Capri, who plays Monse, this is her first acting job. She was a background extra in a movie in Atlanta, which I think was her only thing was literally being a background extra. She was in college in Atlanta, and she sent in a tape to our casting directors, and she was amazing. And it's funny, she was, until we saw her, we just didn't see it, but we needed a girl who could play both vulnerable and tough. And she, yeah, Sierra Capri has really knocked it out of the park. She's amazing.
Mm-hmm. When you brought your writing staff and your directing team together and started production, was there a particular topic that, based on the feedback from you and from Eddie, your writing people, Lauren, et cetera, and from the cast, that you definitely wanted to make sure in these 10 episodes you covered?
Really, Lauren, Eddie, and I sort of mapped out the entire season before we got into the writer's room. So we generally knew where we were going. So the other writers were amazing and awesome and contributed and changed a lot of stuff, but there weren't really any specific topics that we said we had to cover. You know, I mean, obviously at the end there's a shooting, but we didn't say, oh, you know, we have to have a shooting in there because blah, blah, blah. It's really what we wanted to do was to be real and authentic to the world, real and authentic to the characters, so that everything came out of them. So there was no specific topic. There was no specific story. It was really just what generated from these real characters and what was authentic to the world, not some Hollywood BS story that we just jammed in there to make it fun.
Mm-hmm. This program had three directors. Lauren did quite a few, and then there's two other people. I think it's Stephen and Ryan. Stephen has done some work in some other shows. Ryan, I had not heard of. But talk about their contribution to the program.
Well, so Lauren directed four episodes, one and two, and the first two and the last two, and then Steve Tashita and Ryan Shiraki directed the middle ones, and they were both great. Diversity in front and back of the camera. They're both Asian. They're actually both Asian Hawaiian, and they're great guys. And they contributed because, you know, Lauren is being a director, and she really wanted to sort of set up a collective almost, as she called it, so that all the directors were talking and communicating, so everyone would be on the same page. And these two guys were amazing, especially because we're such a low-budget show that we cross-shot episodes so that we would always be shooting two episodes at the same time. So you would, you know, if you were in a certain location, let's say Ruby's living room, you would shoot all the Ruby's living room stuff for two different episodes back to back to back. So that's really a hard job, and Steve and Ryan and obviously Lauren all did an amazing job. And, yeah, they're terrific. I mean, hopefully we're all going to have a second season, and they'll all be back next year.
Because you're on Netflix, and Netflix is commercial-free, what kind of creative leeway do you get out of the process? Like, for example, the opportunity to shoot parts of two episodes in the same place at the same time period. What other creative leeway were you able to get that really enhanced the program?
Well, you know, the creative leeway that Netflix is both our distributor and the studio. So, like, when you do something at a traditional thing, like at Fox, there's the studio and the distributor. So you'd have to deal with, like, 20th Century Fox and Fox Broadcasting. So you're getting two sets of notes. And that's – with Netflix, you know, we never felt that they were – I mean, they are our boss, but we never felt that they were a boss. They were wonderful. They always felt like a partner. And creatively, you just get one set of notes, and the notes were really well thought of. And they, you know, they've been so supportive. They've loved the show. And, again, they really were more like a partner than a boss telling you do this or do that. Their notes were always suggestions. They were always open to discussing things and finding out if they were right or we were right or somewhere in the middle it was right. And, yeah, I mean, it's been the best collaboration I've ever had. They're great.
Yeah, I was reading, watching an interview on Cheddar overnight with Bryan Cranston, who has a new series on Amazon coming out today called The Dangerous Book of Boys, which is a family-oriented series. And one of the things he was saying is that when he got notes from Amazon, they would never change this, change that, do this, do that, it's our order. It was more of explain what you're doing to me, or explain what you're doing here, and let's see what we can how we can together, or you can enhance it. We'll leave it up to you. Was that the kind of note props you also got from Netflix? Is like, if you got a note, it was not like change this, change that. It was more like explain, give me more of a sense of what you're doing, or give me more of a elaborate more, and then we can work with this.
Absolutely, their notes were never change this or do this, or we don't like this. They're like, hey, can you explain why you guys did this, or You know, we like the song that you picked, but we think it should be a little bit more this or that. And then we'd say, well, the reason we did this, it was always a conversation and never your boss telling you. It was always a conversation. And then also, because this is a new world for a lot of people, there was also some, you know, learning and explaining about this world that not every executive at Netflix has, you know, grown up in South Central Los Angeles. So there was trying to get everyone on the same page and understand how, you know, things in Brentwood are different than they are in our town of Free Ridge, and sort of make sure that everyone's on the same page. But, yeah, they were amazing. It was never an order. It was always a suggestion or a discussion. They truly were partners.
Mm-hmm. On My Block is one of Netflix's newest dramatic series produced in Los Angeles about what's going on in South Central Los Angeles with teenagers and other folks as well. And the program is running 24/7. Netflix is available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices like Google Chromecast, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and so on. We've got Jeremy Haff, one of the co-creators, executive producers, and writers on the program. He's live from L.A. The Tap Hour on tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Glad you're with us on Good Friday 2018. We hope you're in for a wonderful holiday weekend, no matter where you're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment for Jeremy, make a call, 646-652-2906, or get into our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name is guest 481, 492, and guest 501 have done. A week from today on the program, what's going on with Up TV, the Uplifting Entertainment Network? A lot of both the scripted and unscripted side. We'll find out on the unscripted side, maybe more, when Timothy Kurak, the Senior Vice President of Unscripted Development, joins us. One of their newest shows in that vein is called Expecting, and it premieres next week. Terry Skoryak from Up TV joins us next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's been the reaction of community leaders in Los Angeles to what you're doing?
You know, that's interesting. We have not heard from any community leaders at all, not negatively or positively. I assume it would be positively, or I hope it would be, but we haven't heard from any, so I can't really comment on that. You know, it would be great to see some community activists and community leaders help us promote the show. That's where we need the most help, you know, is getting the word out. And so at this moment, we're relying on our fans and Twitter and Instagram to get the word out, social media. But, yeah, it'd be great if some of the, you know, Latino organizations that were pushing One Day at a Time to get renewed, it'd be great to get their support, or African-American organizations as well. But at this point, we have not heard from anybody.
What about local educators, local high schools?
We have also not heard from local high schools, but that actually does bring up an interesting question is, you know, one of the things, and I have to give credit to Lauren, she really wanted to kickstart this, is that in addition to our writers, we had story consultants, Alexi Gonzalez, Walter Finney, and Kylan Turner. They're three story consultants, and we found them through, we kind of went through all the high schools, all the high schools, obviously exaggeration, but many, many high schools in South Central Los Angeles, Southern Los Angeles, and we really got very, very little response. And then Lauren, that she was on a mission, and I credit her, to get some story consultants in the writer's room every day. I mean, Eddie grew up in Compton and Linwood and still has relatives there, so he's very, very authentic to that world, and a lot of our writers were, but we wanted to bring in some kids that were, you know, in their early 20s that still lived there and could help us make sure that the stories were authentic, that the stories felt real and resonated. So we found Alexi, Walter, and Kylan. We found Alexi, I believe, through the Ghetto Film School. She's been an amazing story consultant. And Walter and Kylan are actors, poets, rappers, writers as well. Alexi, by the way, is an amazing director. And those guys, we found them through Get Lit, which is a literature program. So we found the three of them from the local community and brought them into the writer's room, and they were amazing. They were there and Netflix, to their credit, set up a program where they could be fully – this wasn't an internship. They were fully employed. They were members of the staff as consultants. They were employed, paid well, and they were there every day in the writer's room pitching ideas. You know, we would ask them, hey, how would you say this or that? Does that feel real to the world? And, you know, I think that's part of the reason the show has really resonated is they were amazing contributors.
That's really fantastic that Netflix went that mile. And also, I know about the Ghetto Film School. It is a wonderful project that deserves a lot more attention it's getting, and I would love to see them get more into television than they are. So it's great to see that. This is one of the first TV projects that that organization is involved in. I hope they'll do more as time goes on. One Day at a Time was renewed for a third season early this week. We have followed that show. Gloria Calderon Keller and Mike Royce, the creators and executive producers, were on our show last year. I think the program is marvelous. I'm pulling for Rita Moreno to get an Emmy nomination this year. as Best Supporting Actress, and make for Justine Machado win Best Actress also, get a nomination there. Does that renewal early this week give everybody good trust that your show is getting renewed very soon?
Well, listen, One Day at a Time is a great show, and I'm happy that it got renewed because it's a really good show and it's a good representation of that world. So I'm happy about that. I think it shows, you know, Netflix has a commitment to quality programming and diversity. I would assume it's a good sign for us, but, you know, I think at the end of the day, it still comes down to the numbers. So, you know, we still have to show Netflix that people are watching the show. We have, you know, an amazing fan base on Twitter and Instagram, and, you know, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. The audience review is 99%. So the people who are watching our show love it. And it's encouraging they renewed One Day at a Time, but we need our fans to get more fans. We just have to grow our thing, because at the end of the day, as wonderful as Netflix is, I'm sure they still want to see the numbers.
Incidentally, Twitter has about 15,000 followers right now for Brown and Block. If you get a second season, Jeremy, how do you and Lauren and Eddie want to expand the characters? What kind of situations do you want them to come through?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is what you saw in episode 10, the last couple minutes. No one gets out alive, not literally, but figuratively, right? One of the things that I learned this year from working on the show is that, you know, some our story consultants, I mean, Eddie grew up with this, Eddie Gonzalez grew up with this, but our story consultants would explain it's almost the feeling of constantly having PTSD. And, you know, you could say, well, you've never been shot or stabbed, but having been seen so many people killed, hurt, fought, they're almost living in a state of PTSD. And I think that is something that we would explore from the people who were at the shooting in episode 10 and how their life is affected by this traumatic event. I mean, unfortunately, gun violence is all too common, I mean, throughout the United States, you know, whether it's been, you know, whether it's Chicago, Los Angeles, Parkland. I mean, gun violence is very sad and way too common. And I think the effect of it on the kids, on the community, that's something we'll definitely want to deal with in season two also.
Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen On My Block from Netflix, here's a thought. Make it your business to see it. It's a marvelous show, and it deserves to have a great long run, and you can make it happen if you check it out. It's on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, whether it's sets like Samsung, Vizio, LG, or devices like Roku, Apple TV, Google Chromecast, and so on. For more details about the program online, go to www.netflix.com. It's www.netflix.com. On My Block, available 24/7 there. Jeremy Hatt, co-creator, co-executive producer, writer, thank you for being with us. Congratulations on how the show is doing so far. To you, Lauren, Eddie, your cast, your crew, and let's hope that this is the beginning of a wonderful run that really makes a difference to diversity on television.
Simon, I'm a fan of your show, so it's an honor to be on it, and I'm glad you like the show. Thank you for all the help supporting it, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Absolutely, Jeremy. You got it. Take care. Enjoy the weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Jeremy Hatt, co-creator, co-executive producer, writer of On My Block from Netflix, joining us live from Los Angeles. More TWBT coming your way, but first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. There's a brand new movie out, and it's getting a lot of attention. Ready Player One, Steven Spielberg's new film about the world of virtual reality. It's a world that first came out in book form of a book from the same name by Ernest Cline, and now it comes your way sound-wise through Audible.com. You can get right now Ready Player One, narrated by Will Wheaton of Star Trek The Next Generation and other things. Same. How? Get a free trial offer to Audible.com through audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com from Amazon is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio or iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised. Get one free other book like Ready Player One, 1 month trial of the service, and great customer service from Amazon.com. It all adds up to a marvelous sound experience. So hear for yourself why Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. They're a private development partner of the New York Television Festival, coming back for its latest season this July. AudibleTrial.com/televised. Coming up next, our classic trivia question of the week. And next week, there's someone speaking here in New York that you ought to know about. Why? We'll tell you after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, more than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for sitting around talking movies. Join Neil Rosen and Bill McCurdy as they discuss the latest movies in town like Ready Player One. It happens every week right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best of BTR available 24/7 on YouTube. And you catch our program and other Blog Talk Radio shows on iTunes, Apple TV's iTunes podcast app, and the iHeartRadio podcast network. Just go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tamami Televised in the search bar, click, and you're there. Welcome back to more of Tamami Televised on this Good Friday, 2018, 57 degrees, top of the hour here in the Big Apple. Simon Applebaum with you live from New Haven, New York. Good to have you with us. More things coming your way shortly. If you want to comment on them, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere. Catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. Or get into our chat room. Simon Apple 04-man gets 491 and 492 already in the room. You will find that chat room at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Is the name Jeff Finder familiar to you? We'll tell you why it ought to be as of next week. But first, let's give you our classic trivia question of the week. It's still in play, and we'll keep it in play as long as we need to during the weekend. We opened up the question on Monday, and it's this. Name the game show host who narrated the first episode of The Adventures of Superman. What game show host narrated the first episode of The Adventures of Superman? If you're first with the correct answer, and you email it to us, you will win Stealing the Show. That's the new bestseller by Joy Press, who just became one of the new editors this week at Vanity Fair. And you'll also get the DC Comics collection in hardcover form, The Many Worlds of Krypton, based on the new sci-fi series that premiered a week and a half ago. All you have to do, email me with that correct answer, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your full memory list. We can get the gifts out to you if you win. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you just missed the question, no problem. We'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and my Twitter hashtag at UVCSimonTWBT. That's at UVCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, be in and get in for the win. We're wrapping up the first 3 months of 2018 today, weekday-wise, March 30th, and it looks like the next 3 months are going to be even more crowded with news and developments all over the TV landscape, including a lot of events that are taking place here in New York. And one of the first events is taking place Tuesday afternoon at the Stewart Hotel at the cross the street on 7th Avenue from Penn Station and Madison Square Garden. It's the Multicultural Summit. It's put together by the producers of Broadcasting Cable and Multichannel News, two of the key trade publications covering industry, and it's done by the Shred Marketing Group, an organization that's done a lot of work in the area of multicultural television. Now, we mention this because there's someone who will be speaking there that you might want to know. His name is Jeff Finder. Jeff, I believe, has been on this program way back when, and at the time, he was involved in a venture called Broadbus, which was an internet services project that was thinking about being part of smart TV sets and smart devices. In recent years, Mr. Binder has been involved in a venture called Layer 3 TV, which is an alternative cable satellite-like service that is sort of a concierge-type style in terms of its programming for multi-channel audiences. Well, last year, December to be exact, Layer 3 TV was bought by T-Mobile. That's right, T-Mobile, what they call the uncarrier in wireless communications. And as noted at the time, T-Mobile wants to be a very disruptive force in television. And before the end of this year, they want to come out with a new multi-channel television service that will take on the big cable companies and the big satellite companies and drive them crazy, as they are doing with other wireless carriers. That's why they call themselves the uncarrier. Now, Mr. Binder will be speaking at this multicultural television event, and I'll be there covering it as well for this program and for Media Village, the media commentary and analysis website. And there's three things off the bat three questions I would like to ask Mr. Binder. Number one, what details can you say about this new T-Mobile television service? How will it look? How will it be offered? What kind of programming will you have? And when will this service launch? Question number two, what role will multicultural television play in the service? Networks and programming aimed at African Americans, Latinos, Native Americans, Asian Americans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And third, will mobile apps be showcased on this service, similar to what smart TV sets and smart TV devices have the power currently to do? Are we going to see mobile applications on the television set through your service? And if so, which ones? That's my two questions I want to ask Mr. Binder. And Mr. Binder, being at this event on Tuesday, is in a position, as part of this roundtable session, to deliver on those answers. I hope he'll do it. I'm really fascinated by what T-Mobile is going to do. And I really believe that if T-Mobile is going to make a dent in your television viewing by being, in effect, your television service provider, they're going to have to do something very radical. And the folks at T-Mobile, when they announced this Layer 3 agreement last December, suggested that. But they haven't said much since. I'm hoping that Mr. Binder will have some things to say on Tuesday, and we can take all the dialogue we could get from him. Whether he says it in public or says it to me in private, he's got the opening. And by the way, we will invite him and the T-Mobile folks to come on this program anytime they'd like and discuss what they want to do in television. Bottom line, Jeff Binder is a person to know. Hopefully, we'll get to know him in a great way this coming Tuesday. Well, that will do it for this edition of Tomorrow Be Told Live and for this month, as a matter of fact. And before we go, I want to thank all of you out there for the great response you have had in our program, especially to our replays. For the very first time in a very long while, we have had, for this month, over 20,000 replays. It has been absolutely amazing. And so far this month, in addition, we have had over 40,000 replays for these first 3 months of 2018. We thank you for that. Keep the word coming. Spread the word. We think this is just the beginning. And we invite you, if you have never listened to our program on replay before, to give it a go. All of our shows are available, not just from this month, but from previous months, available at blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check us out anytime you like on iTunes, the Apple TV iTunes podcast app, and on the iHeartRadio podcast network. Remember, if you don't have Apple TV, you can go to an Apple store near you or order Apple TV online anytime you like. And again, thank you for over 20,000 replays so far. And we only have 2 days to go, and we have 2 days more to go. So thank you for that. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll kick off April showcasing two series, the new ABC sensation Good Girls and the brand new ABC drama The Crossing that premieres Monday night. From Good Girls, we'll have creator and showrunner Jenna Bonds, and from The Crossing, co-creators and executive producers Dan Dworkin and Jay Beatty. And then next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, what is going up with Up TV? We'll find out from one of their key executives, the Senior Vice President of Unscripted Development, Timothy Kuryak. It's all coming up next week, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, both Monday and Friday, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's episode and you want to catch up an episode you missed once again, go straight pronto to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget to check out the podcast version. It's available 24/7 on iTunes, on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network at iHeartRadio.com, and on Apple TV's iTunes Podcast app. Again, if you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you, play them all over the country and around the world, or order it online. We would love to hear from you. What do you think of On My Block and shows like it? What's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it is going? Are you interested, maybe, in getting your TV from T-Mobile? Love to hear. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're from. I do return emails in 24 hours. Remember, that's how you get involved in our Clock Tree Question of the Week. If you get the answer before this weekend is out, you will win Stealing the Show, new bestseller by New Vanity Fair Editor Joy Press, and The Many Worlds of Krypton, the new DC Comics collection. both of them coming your way gratis. And remember, that's also how you get involved in another feature we do regularly called the Show to Know. Is there a TV show that you like that you feel doesn't get enough attention for one reason or another? Well, let us know, and if we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, will get the credit. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. We have over 650 Twitter followers, and we thank you for that. So stay in touch with us that way. And my hashtag on Twitter is at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. However you communicate with us, it's always appreciated. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio or iHeartRadio. Our production associate at BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, the executive content producer. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow's Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com, an Amazon company, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audio book, 1 month trial, great customer service, all in one, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful Easter weekend. For those of you of Jewish persuasion, we hope you have a great start to your Passover season. Make it a great and safe one. And we'll all be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Remember, whatever you're doing out there this weekend and beyond, please be safe and be great. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.